Okay, did you want me to say anything more about the unveiling book, or is that enough? Or
why do you use the word unveiling of Jesus Christ as opposed to the revelation of Jesus Christ?
Because that's a literal translation. In the Greek, they translate the Greek into the book of Revelations or the Apocalypse, whereas the most literal meaning is the unveiling. So that's why the book is called the unveiling. So the book of Revelations, literally, if they would have translated it literally, they would have called the book of the unveiling. You know, a little bit more mysterious, too.
Book of what?
The unveiling.
The unveiling.
Yeah.
That's what they call it in the concordance, don't they?
Yeah, the concordance translates it correctly, if I remember right. The first part of the book of Revelations are letters to seven churches. And the letters to seven churches is really instructive to people on the path of discipleship. They haven't become committed disciples yet, but they've had the birth of the Christ in the heart. And when the birth of the Christ in the heart happens, then the person begins to ask the question, is there something more? You know, there's got to be something more than, you know, just making a living and working and buying stuff. And so they start to stretch themselves, and it dawns on them that there's more out there. They sense they have an inner experience of some kind that tells them that there is more. And a lot of times they'll go through a period of even atheism. Didn't you say you went through a period of atheism?
Yeah.
What happened to you that kind of changed you around?
Yeah, it's working.
Okay.
So atheism is kind of...
A little bit closer to your mouth. Yeah.
I mean, no, atheism
yeah,
is...
Right, that's just about
yeah.
right.
Atheism is when you just get tired of accepting authorities and you just want to tell them to go to hell. You don't want to listen to what they have to say. But it's actually a pretty good thing because you go along for a while and, like you said, you buy things, you work. At some point in your life, you know, things are just not adding up and you start saying, why am I here? There's got to be a little bit more than this, you know, maybe you get a little scared, you're getting a little older and say, gee, I might die here one of these days, sometime, you know, and you start thinking about it. So it's actually a good little torture test.
Did you have any inner experience of any kind, or just, did you come about it more mentally, or what?
I think I just found a time, you know, when I would, for 20, 30 years, I would look at the New Testament, I would read it, and I would feel something. But the mind didn't want to accept that. But at some point, something inside said, you know, you got to take this seriously, and it does mean something to you. And we ended up in a Baptist sort of fundamentalist church for a while.
That's probably about the best thing you find down there in Texas.
No.
They didn't call themselves Baptist, so we didn't really know they were Baptist at first.
Yeah.
It was actually a pretty good church.
Okay.
We were watching a seminar the other day on TV, and the guy says, it's not that people really believe in God, but they choose not to believe in nothing.
Mm.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, atheism is a funny thing to practice. The atheists I talk to say, well, I'm not depressed by being an atheist, but I would find it somewhat depressing, because when you die, it would be as if nothing ever existed. Not the universe, not your kids. As if nothing, you might as well have never been, because it would be as if nothing had ever been or ever will be if atheism is really true. And so I would find that kind of a depressing thought myself. What say?
Statistically, it tends to be younger people. You'll see more young atheists than you will see old
atheists.
Really? Though you do have some diehards.
Yeah.
If you're an atheist, though, and you think that your light just goes out, then you don't really have...
You kind of have eternal peace.
You're not even aware of anything because you don't exist. So.
Yeah.
I think Thomas Jefferson once wrote something along this line that actually God probably appreciates a good atheist over just blind belief. So.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Matter of fact, as a person progresses along... Oh.
I met a very interesting person a couple of weeks ago that had a near-death experience, was an atheist before and remained an atheist after.
Really?
Even during his near...
Usually it changes him.
Yeah.
His
reasoning...
Did he just think it was the chemicals in his brain?
Yeah, he thought that it was just the chemicals in his brain, and it was just kind of a consciousness thing, and he said it still didn't convince me that when I die that there's going to be anything, and I thought, man...
Yeah, some teachers teach that after death for an atheist, because they don't believe, they're enshrouded with darkness for about a period of a time, from weeks to months to maybe a year, until it finally dawns on them they're still in existence. And then when they're in existence, the cloud kind of disappears, and they enter into the spirit world there. But
many accounts of that in near-death experiencers.
Yeah,
I've read quite a few accounts where they have encountered locations where you find people in that condition.
Really?
Not only atheists, but also my former mother-in-law.
She's that way while she's alive,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, yeah. She fell in the garage and cracked her head open and almost died. She was in a coma for like 2 weeks or something. During that time, she described that she was just in warm darkness. She said she met no one. She was just totally relaxed, and she said she felt loved and just totally dark, didn't see anything or talk to anybody. And interesting that her beliefs are exactly that. She believes that there is nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's what she got.
Wow. Yeah, and a lot of people go to the spirit world and they encounter an illusionary world, and they think that that's what it's going to be. And everyone encounters the God that they believe in. They believe in Jesus, they encounter Jesus and Krishna, they encounter him, and so on, because...
And also the near-death experiencers, the ones I've read that talked about that place where all those people are, they said there are loving people attending to them, trying to bring them out of it, and those people are graduates of that problem.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of different spheres in the next world, illusionary ones and more real ones. Nobody gets to the ultimate reality that's here upon planet Earth yet, but we get to different divisions of it. I thought I'd continue just a little bit about where I left off yesterday about visions of the future. And I had an interesting idea for the city, for this area right here. And my idea was this, to connect all the... We have Boise as the main hub. Now, a lot of the cities are trying to figure out, well, we need better urban transportation. And what do they have? They have buses. And the buses are never full and they never make money. Nobody wants to ride them. Nobody wants to wait long periods of time. The only people that use buses are the people that absolutely have to, and there's no other way. They can't get a ride. Their friends are, won't give them a ride. So they ride the bus. There's about, what, three, four? Has anybody been on a bus lately? How many people was on the last bus you were on?
Not very many, and it was rarely on time.
Yeah, right. So it's a big problem yet. Everybody wants to create a better means of urban transportation. Obama's really into it, and yet putting more money into what we have, it would be money down a sinkhole because nobody wants to use it. Sure, it saves gas and everything and helps the environment, but nobody wants it. Even the big believers in global warming don't want to ride buses. Nobody wants to ride them. So here's my idea, was to create a fast train system like they have in Japan. Anybody know how fast those trains go? Don't they go like a couple hundred miles an hour?
Yeah, it's 32, I think.
Okay, we have Boise here, then we have Nampa, Kovo, and Ontario, Weezer, Payette, these towns over here. Over here we have Mountain Home. So these are some of the main hubs.
Emmett.
So, oh yeah, Emmett over here.
Can't forget Emmett. Can't leave that
out. So we have a fast train system.
I think they're all easily
to connect these. Now, I used to live in New Plymouth, and I drove 50 miles every day to Boise for about 12 years. And, boy, I wasted a lot of time. I used to battle with back. I wish I had an MP3 player back in those days. That would have been great. What I did sometimes is I rented tapes from a place called, I can't remember what the name of it now. It was a place that sold audio tapes, anyway. Or they rented them. I'd rent one.
And I didn't even have a cassette player in my car. I had a portable one, and I operated off of batteries, and it cost me a fortune of batteries to run that thing. But I still listened to quite a few books, and then sometimes I'd just write songs or memorize something on the way, and because I had an hour in and an hour back every day, you know, that I had to try and make use of.